The next case is 06-266, Girl Scouts Great Trail Council. This is J. Patrick McAndrew and William Wilkins, Tax Commissioner. Ms. Katz.
May it please the court, selling merchandise is not a charitable activity. The tax commissioner exempted almost all of the property of Great Trails Council because that property was used exclusively for charitable purposes, which is the standard for exemption under 5709.12. However, there was a store, and the store was used for selling merchandise, and selling merchandise is not a charitable purpose. This court has said the same thing.
Wasn't this a new store, a new operation, and didn't they add on a lot more merchandise?
Yes, Your Honor, they did expand the store, they expanded the merchandise. This is a new site, and it was dedicated specifically to selling merchandise in that spot. And there's a very clear standard. When you look at a space that is dedicated for use as a store, you know that it's used for with a view to profit, and this space should not be granted an exemption because that's not an exclusively charitable purpose.
Well, counsel, you could have a store in a exempt property that doesn't turn a profit. It just your strongest point is that there was a $2,300 profit here.
That's correct. In year 2003, they sold approximately $170,000 worth of merchandise, and they themselves made $2,300 worth of profit. However, the National Equipment Service, which sold 85% of the product to the Girl Scouts, and which is a division of the Girl Scouts USA, itself made $42 million throughout the United States in various stores. This store itself was in competition with for-profit entities. For example, the same National Equipment Service had licensed to the JCPenney's and to other stores which were selling the exact same equipment. So this court said in 1950 in a case that when you have property that is used in a manner similar to or exactly like a for-profit enterprise, that in and of itself is in a prima facie reason why the property should be taxed.
Are we talking about the sale of Girl Scout uniforms?
Yes, we are. But if you look at Lutheran Bookstore, we were talking about the sale of books that were of interest to individuals who practice a particular kind of religion.
These uniforms were sold at a 20% markup.
That's correct. A 20% markup, and they had other items that were sold at a 30% markup.
And out of a 12-year history, 11 years there was a loss, and in the 1 year there was a $2,000 profit.
Your Honor, there that is true, but if you look at the first place, the property for many years was just a tiny little spot on a windowsill. It wasn't a marked store. It did not have the same kind of merchandise, all the merchandise available for people to try on. That's in the testimony. And it was not as large. Also, the BTA was wrong when it created this slight profit standard, which you stated, for several reasons, the first of which is the inherent competition with commercial enterprises. As this court pointed out in Cattle Club versus Glander in 1950, then it's not a clear standard. When you have some space that's dedicated for the use of a store, you know what it is.
This is 3% of a building, 3% of a building, 256 square feet.
That's correct, Your Honor. And in New Haven Church versus Board of Tax Appeals, this court stated that it was possible to split list off property. And they they changed an opinion on the exact same piece of property where they had exempted the entire property, including a place where the custodian lived.
How much did this 3% generate in property taxes?
Your Honor, this is a very small amount of money. I believe it was listed as $545. The problem is not this particular case. The problem is judicial efficiency. The problem is you're going to see many cases exactly like this coming up. If you have a slight profit over a several years standard.
But you have a standard in place that deals with this. And it seems to me that you want us to do some sort of strict interpretation that's not in the statute that says if they make a profit, then they have to exempt this property out. And that's not what the statute says. The statute says a view for a profit. And for 11 years they didn't make a profit. They expand the store, they guess wrong, and come up with a small profit in what you say, what, $14 million of sales? They come up with a $2,300 profit, and you zero in and call that they made a profit, therefore it's exempt, rather than look at the whole view, which is what the lower tribunal seemed to do. They looked at what was their intent. They didn't intend to make a profit. They intended still to operate at a loss, and they guessed wrong. Why is that analysis so faulty?
Your Honor, because it is very easy to hide profits. And I'm not saying that the Girl Scouts did that in this instance. I'm saying that it is possible. If you look at the year 2000.
Is there a factual finding in this case that they were hiding profits for 11 years?
Your Honor, no, but we're asking you to set a standard that everyone can follow, something that's followed.
So something. You ignore view for profit if you suspect that they might be hiding profits for 11 years?
No, Your Honor, that was a different property that they were operating on. But if you look at the, on page 22 of the supplement, there is their list of the profits and losses from the store, which was submitted as evidence. And if you look at 2002, where they were partially in that property, they brought in $160,000 in sales. And in that year, they had a $5,000 expense for a trip, which they took to the National Convention, where the National Equipment Service, again, this made, if you look at a 990 for the U.S. Girl Scouts, made $42 million in stores throughout the country, just like this. And
well, Counsel, aren't they taxed? The entity that's making the $42 million?
Well, the problem is the use of the property here, and the use of the property in this instance is for selling merchandise.
Well, okay, but I guess the point is that this national company that made $42 million in Girl Scout merchandise certainly didn't rely on this company to boost their sales.
No, it is licensing its own equipment. It's licensing equipment. It's licensing uniforms. It's a division of the National Girl Scouts of the USA. And so that makes this little store in some ways competitive with JCPenney's and with anybody who wanted to start a little store and sell the same kind of merchandise. And again, I go back to the Cattle Club case where you say if it was used in a manner similar to a commercial enterprise, it's prima facie evidence that the property is taxable.
Is the 20 or 30% markup charged by the Girl Scouts enough to conclude that the store was operated with a view for profit?
Your Honor, it was dedicated space, and it is a profit. It is a markup over the cost of the product, the price of the product to the Girl Scout Council.
What if they had that same markup but still lost money and still didn't make a profit?
Your Honor, I think if they had not dedicated the property exclusively for a store, they would have a much stronger argument. And I think you have to think of the problem that we're going to have if there is a slight profit or if we follow the, discern the intention of the organization, which is what Girl Scouts is arguing you should do. That is going to set up where this court is going to see all sorts of cases where you have a property, there might be a $2,000 profit, there might be a $5,000 profit, there might be a $10,000 profit, there might be, Justice Stratton, as you pointed out, in First Baptist, you found a $230,000 sale to a for-profit in a $1 million as part of $1 million to be a de minimis part. It's all relative.
Katz, what would we do if there were a loss in the next two succeeding calendar years?
Your Honor.
Does this mean that they're taxed 1 year, then they're not taxed the next, and we have to wait to see what their profit and loss statement is?
Your Honor, many small businesses suffer losses. Many small individuals go into a business and they start a restaurant, they start a store, and they're trying to sell merchandise,
But the basis of what you're asking us to do, I think, is because the Girl Scouts are selling uniforms in 256 square feet, 3% of the building, we should, and because they made a $2,000 profit, we should say that that's a taxable portion of the building.
I'm saying that because they are under 5709.12, which mandates that property be used exclusively for charitable purposes, because they have set off this property, and they are using this property and dedicating this property for the sale of merchandise.
Yes.
Because a small store which wanted to open up in competition could not compete. It would have to pay property tax.
But the statute says with a view to a profit.
Right. By opening up a small store and dedicating that space to the sale of merchandise, they are using it with a view to a profit. The statute doesn't say they have to make a profit. It says a view to profit,
well,
which counsel, means they're trying
to
make a
counsel,
profit.
Counsel, if they had a store and they're selling merchandise for 11 years at a loss, and then they have a new facility and they dedicate 2 or 3% of that facility for the same purpose that they used, the same purpose as the past 11 years, in selling Girl Scout uniforms and pins, et cetera, you're saying that because they turned a $2,300 profit, that proves that they had a view towards a profit when their history told them that they weren't making a profit. So how do you say that there's a view towards a profit when historically they were not making a profit?
Excuse me. Your Honor, the previous property, there was testimony that it was a windowsill and it wasn't a store-like space. The testimony is here they have expanded the space, they have more merchandise, and so they are trying to sell in this particular space.
Is that more as a service to the membership, the girls that are Girl Scouts, as opposed to, you know, a real merchandising effort to make this a profitable venture?
Your Honor, again, it is a service, but it is also in competition with internet, where you could buy the same materials. And it is just like Lutheran Bookstore, where it is offering to a select group of people who are interested in specific items a venue where they can buy them in competition with other venues where they could buy them, the same items.
Well, unless you're selling a unique product, that's always going to be the case. Unless you have a boutique product that you're going to, you know, have exclusive control over, which admittedly Girl Scout uniforms are not, you know, you're going to have competition. How is that a relevant test here, viewing the history of this organization?
Your Honor, this is a wonderful organization. I was a member. My mother was a scout leader. I loved it. I sold cookies. And if you notice, the purpose, however, of this store is not part of the purpose of Girl Scouts. If you sell cookies, you can get a cookie badge. But there's no selling items in the Girl Scout store badge.
But don't you need a sash to put those badges on?
Not anymore. Since 1991, Girl Scouts haven't had to wear the uniform. And it's just part of...
It's part of the culture of Girl Scouts to wear the whole regalia.
Well, when Girl Scouts were started in the early 20th century, the costume that they wore was something that allowed them to participate in sports and do athletic activities. And remember, girls at that point of history were not supposed to do anything because they were considered too weak and fragile and might fall apart. So the uniform served a purpose. It no longer has the same purpose.
Why would they be selling it then if it doesn't have any purpose?
Well, it has... people like to wear it. It's like a brand.
There you go. They like to eat those Girl Scout cookies, too.
Correct. But you notice that's not an issue because we know the Girl Scouts do many good things. And even though they sold $1.1 million worth of Girl Scouts out of this particular troop, we've not brought that up because under 5709.12, you look at the institution itself. The institution itself, and then... you look at how this institution is using the property.
Wasn't this merchandise sold in support of Girl Scout activities?
Well, this court has said before in American Metals, in Seven Hills Schools, in OCLC Computer, it's not in support. It has to be, the property has to be used exclusively for charitable purposes. And when you are selling merchandise, it is not an exclusive use for charitable purposes.
So, counsel, in your view, I mean, we're talking about a property exemption, what the taxpayer must show for entitlement to that exemption. Looking in this case and talking about view to a to profit, what would the taxpayer have to show? Undedicated space, no markup of goods, what would they have had to show in your view?
Your Honor, I'm asking this court on behalf of the tax commissioner to make a ruling where anyone who's applying for an exemption from real property taxation will know. If I set aside property and I use it as a store, this property is not going to be exempt from taxation. That, I think, makes life easy for the Board of Tax Appeals, for you, and especially for somebody who is trying to set up a nonprofit organization that does charitable things and helps humanity.
So if there's undedicated space in the building, that would satisfy the tax commissioner?
Then we get into another question. That's not before the court in this case. For example, there were $1.1 million of sales of cookies. However, the use of the property itself, with the exception of the store, was exclusively for charitable purposes. No question. No problem exempting every single part of that space except the store, which could be easily split off under 57.
So, counsel, let me ask you, if they were storing the boxes and boxes of cookies there, you're saying that it maintains its exemption, not within the 300 square feet of the store, but say they had a warehouse and they had all the Girl Scout cookies there. Would that change anything?
Your Honor, we haven't really brought that case up because what we're talking about is how this particular property, which is used to sell merchandise at a retail level at a markup, is being used. And that would be another question that really was not before the board or the tax commissioner. Because the nature of the institution itself was not explored in this case, and the use of the property was the only issue under 5709.12 because we had an institution.
You're well over your time, Ms. Katz.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Swope.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Greg Swope. I'm with the firm of Krugliak, Wilkins, Griffiths, and Doherty Company. I'm here on behalf of the Girl Scouts Great Trail Council.
Would you pull that microphone closer to your mouth?
Sure.
I can't hear you.
Sorry. Justices O'Donnell, Justice Stratton, Justice O'Connor, I think you nailed the issue today. What's before the court is, what does a view to a profit mean, and whether there should be a bright line test when considering a view to a profit when you ought to have an otherwise charitable organization or institution using its property for charitable purposes here. And I thought the bright line test that the appellant was going to assert was whether a profit was made, and I guess I misunderstood, like the bright line test whether it's just a store being operated. And I don't think those views are appropriate with regard to the statute and prevailing case law, Your Honor. I think the Board of Tax Appeal took the proper approach when they analyzed the historical use of the property by the Girl Scouts in this case, and took the testimony to determine what the intent of the Girl Scouts was or is in operating this store.
Should the Girl Scouts have expected a profit when they changed the store and, you know, had this whole new area and more merchandise?
The Doreen Smith, who the accountant testified to, is that the profit from that year is because of increased volume. The fixed cost of operating the store did not change. You still had the 1.5 employees and some other costs, but a donor gave them property and some acreage and a new store, and the first year the membership increased, so due to volume, they did make that slight profit. Should they have expected it? Maybe, but if you look at the record, the Girl Scouts had never done an analysis to determine what the store needs to do to turn a profit, because that's not what their purpose is. The purpose of the store was to provide service to the Girl Scouts so that these items that are generally associated with the Girl Scouts, your uniforms, your books, your badges, are readily available to the members if they need them. Matter of fact, if the Girl Scouts did lose money for 11 years before they moved into the store and kept operating the store without undertaking analysis to determine what they need to do to make a profit, because that was not what their motive was. Motive was to have a place available for members to buy these items. Could they have expected it? If they would have done an analysis, maybe, but that wasn't their purpose. That's not what they're trying to do.
Should we not look at the years 2001 and 2003, those 3 years, 2001, 2002, essentially, their gross margin increased by $20,000 a year, their net their net margin increased during those years. These are the years right before the tax year. They increased their area, they increased the products, 20% to 30% markup. A view to profit, it seems to me there's some rationality here for suggesting that they really were looking at profit. Take away the 7 or 8 years ago. It seems to me that's not, their situation changed, did it not? In the years just before the tax year here?
It changed that year, Your Honor. I think they moved into the end of 2002, so it changed moving into 2003, Your Honor.
And is it right that the year before that they also had their gross sales increased and their net margin increased?
It did increase, Your Honor, but I guess what I'd like to point out is about 85 to 90% of the items that the Girl Scouts sell, they have no control over what they pay to purchase these items for or what they have to sell them for. They are subject to a contract between the National Girl Scouts organization and the vendor, I think it's National Equipment Services, that the Girl Scout, this store, this property, has to buy these items for a certain price, have to sell them for a certain price. The markup, not something that Girl Scouts, they don't undertake that markup. By contract, they have to sell these items for that markup. So looking at whether the items were marked up, determine whether they're trying to turn a profit, well, that was not the Girl Scouts. They have no doing that. They can't control that issue.
Let me ask you, in defining view to profit, which is certainly a very subjective term, there's no statutory definition for it. If an entity did everything it possibly could to increase its sales, to make a profit, let's say it's the Girl Scouts, and they're obviously, you have a very sympathetic, quote, sympathetic client. The tax law, unfortunately, doesn't distinguish between clients that are parties that are for which we have sympathy and not. So it's pretty ruthless law in that way. So let's say that there's an entity that does everything it can to make a profit, but for conditions perhaps even outside its control, perhaps it has a poor manager or whatever, it does not make a profit. But it's clear that it wanted to make a profit. View to profit seems to me to be intention. That's intention. As we know, it's very difficult in many situations to know what someone intends. So we have to look at all these objective standards. one doesn't have to make a profit to have a view to profit, do they?
No, I agree with that, and I think that's
Well, there were questions here that I thought, I just wanted to clarify that, because there were questions that kind of suggested that answer perhaps maybe the entity had to actually make a profit, but that's it's the intention to make a profit, is it not, that the tax law is directed at?
I agree, Your Honor. There are many organizations that try to make money that can't, but because their intent is to make money, they should not be exempt from taxes. I agree with that, Your Honor. I don't think the issue should be whether we make a profit or not. I think it should be the intent.
Well, counsel, the profit here then, based on the briefs, is because of an increased enrollment, partially, that there was a membership increase. So, as you said, there were fixed costs that didn't change, whether they were selling one uniform or, 20 uniforms. And that apparently is the explanation for this $2,300 increase.
Yeah, that's the only thing that changed that year, Your Honor. Increased membership, so more uniforms were sold, more books, more badges that have to be earned. I'm sure those were sold, more of those were sold too, just because you had more members that year.
Okay. But regarding the issue of intent. What do we look to show that the store was operating for exclusively for charitable purposes? What's in the record that we can see that says it's for charitable purposes?
In this case, Your Honor, I think you can look back that through 11 years they operated this store at a loss without ever looking to undertake an analysis to determine how to turn a profit, which typically in commerce, you're operating a business or something, a store for 11 years at a loss, you're going to undertake some activity to try to make a profit. They did not do that here. They continue to operate the store. And I think that's the biggest factor you look at here, looking at the intent. The other intent is, Your Honor, they don't advertise to the general public. The store hours open from 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday, no evening, no weekends. It's not open for people to come in at opportune times. The other thing, it sells the Girl Scout related items. 85 to 90% are the things that the Girl Scouts want to wear, the uniforms, the books, the badges. It's about another 10% that are sweatshirts, t-shirts, or polo shirts that have the Girl Scout emblem on them. But the other 85 to 90 are what the Girl Scouts have purchased themselves and would want to have as part of the culture. Again, they're not, there's no other general merchandise there that they're trying to sell that's just to generate sales, and they don't advertise.
How do you distinguish this case then from the Lutheran bookstore case?
Because that case, they were intending to make a profit. They wanted to generate funds. What they wanted to do with those funds, they were designed to generate funds selling those items. And what they wanted to do with those funds, then would take the funds and convert them to charitable purposes and claim that since we converted those funds to charitable purposes, then we're still operating without a view to a profit. But that was not the case. Selling those items, they were intended to make money, and that's not the case here. But just one more point I'd like to wrap up, and I think Justice O'Donnell might have hit on this issue. One of the reasons the appellant wants to set a bright line test is she believes it would keep the litigation down, and I'm not so sure that's the case, because again here, assuming the Girl Scouts operated their property for charitable purposes and had a loss for 11 years, had the profit for 1 year, well, what happens if they lose money the next 2 years? Are we back in? Are they filing a new request for an exemption? Are we bringing that case back up again? And what if they make money 1 year, 5 years later? Are we back here again? I think what we need to do, determine the core issue. The core issue is, what is a view to a profit? What if this institution was intending to make a profit? Once you reach that issue, then it doesn't matter whether they were making profits or not making profits into the future, as long as the use of the property stays the same, because the core issue has already been answered, and that ends the litigation.
Although, counsel, when you say view to a profit, and that does imply forward-looking, does it not? And when you answered Judge Grindel's question about what's in the evidence, you stated it's the history of the 11 years of no profit. Then we have the change in circumstance with the new store and so on, or the new area within the building. Doesn't it seem that there should be other evidence before the tax commissioner to tell us that your client is entitled to this exemption? I mean, other than saying, well, look at what we did in the past.
Well, I think, again, if you look at the items they're selling, they're all Girl Scout-related items, just to the Girl Scouts here, that they are going to want to purchase. And again, just the fact that 85 to 90% of those items, Girl Scouts can't control the cost on what they buy them for and what they sell them for, controlled by a national contract.
So they have no markup beyond what the licensing
The 30% markup, the markup is mandated by the contract. They have to buy these items for that set price and sell them for a set price. And the reason that exists is so that the uniforms and the Girl Scout items have a uniform price nationally. It's a national contract, so it's not cheaper one place than the other.
And there's no add-on beyond that?
No, they do. By contract, they're not allowed to do that. So if they buy Girl Scout, they stock the store full of Girl Scout uniforms but don't sell one year, they'll have a huge loss because they've had to pay that money up front. Mm-hmm. And they will never be able to reduce the price. Have a clearance sale to try to make any of that money back, they have to still sell it at the contract price, whether it's a year later or 2 years later. Okay, if there are no further questions, I'll rest.
Thank you, Mr. Swope. Ms. Katz, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Your Honor, 30% is still a markup. And it's a markup over cost, even if it's mandated. The store is still in competition with for-profit entities which would like to try to sell the same items. And by having a tax exemption, it undercuts the ability of a for-profit to sell.
So would it be an unfair characterization to say the operation of the Girl Scouts here, the cookie sales are intended to be for-profit? They plan to make money to use that for their charitable purposes, that the sale of uniforms is intended to be a service, and the markup in this store resulted in a profit 1 year, and the only way to avoid the clutches of the tax commissioner would be to give the profit to the store employees as bonuses at the end of the year. If they had done that, would they be in the clear?
Your Honor, you asked a complex question.
Yeah.
Let me try to answer it. Because I know in Hubbard Press, in the dissent, you were very concerned that Hubbard Press, which created envelopes and a revenue, was not exempted, since you thought that that should have been part of the charitable purpose of the Presbyterian mm-hmm. Church. Here you have definitely a cookie sale, but don't forget there's a cookie button. That's been a part of Girl Scouts since 1932, an essential part of Girl Scouting. And the store itself is also used for revenue. It pays for part of the senior staff. It has an apportioned cost, series of costs. It's not just there for a service. There are also other places where this merchandise can be purchased.
So if they had apportioned a little more of the, if they had just said, we're assigning another $1,000 or whatever the profit was to the cost of maintaining the staff, the overall staff, they would have been in the clear? Or if they had a pattern of doing that, saying, if we're above water, we're going to make that an assessment to cover overhead of running the rest of the operation.
Justice Pfeiffer, you have just put your finger right on the biggest problem with the Board of Tax Appeals' slight profit test. Because, again, if you look at 2002, but for the fact that a 5,000-plus trip was taken, there would have been also a slight profit that year. This is problematic. And also the find the intent of the organization. This is problematic. But if you say view to profit, and you set up a space, and you say, I'm dedicating this space, and I'm going to put merchandise in that space, and I'm going to sell that merchandise at a markup price, it is pretty clear that you have a view to profit whether or not you're making a profit. You're attempting to make a profit. It is also very clear that you are competing with other places that have set up a space and are trying to sell merchandise. Some of those
Council,
are for profit.
There is no real test that's based on whether you're in the red or you're making a profit.
That's correct.
It's what you intended to do. So
that's
according
correct.
To Justice Pfeiffer's question, if those costs had been allocated more completely to and absorb this $2,300 profit, you still would say that this store does not deserve to be tax exempt.
That's correct, because by virtue of setting this store up, you have dedicated space and you're using it in a means that is not exclusively for charitable purposes. And don't forget, we taxpayers have to pick up the burden. Every time we give an exemption to an entity, then we are picking up the burden. We are saying that what this entity is doing is so very important, we should grant it a relief. It shouldn't have to pay taxes, but you
Council,
and I should pay
I
more.
Think that's an excellent public policy argument, and we should be mindful of that. I would be more impressed if the history of this state had been that the same scrutiny and toughness was exercised with respect to Honda and Ford and GM and all of the big corporations that take huge tax exemptions for promises of additional jobs. And we keep reading, gee, you know, what happened is the jobs never materialized, but they collected all the tax breaks. I'm wondering, are you comfortable the commissioner is as vigilant with the big hitters?
Your Honor, I don't have any control over the Department of Taxation. I merely represent them before this body.
You've used your time, Ms. Katz. Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.